الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we had read al-asl al-awwal, the first principle, with regards to the principles and fundamentals of the call of as-salafiyyah, of the call of as-salafiyyah, and that is to have great concern and dedication and strong efforts in learning and seeking legislative knowledge and gaining an understanding and the religion. And the author, he mentioned as an evidence for this, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, that you must know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning learn and know with certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and seek forgiveness for your sins. So here the order was for knowledge first and foremost. Allah, he commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to know and to have knowledge and certainty. أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and then proceeding from that to seek forgiveness from the sins. فَبَدَأَ بِالْعِلْمِ قَبَلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ, so therefore he began with knowledge before every statement and action. Likewise, the author rahimahullahu ta'ala clarified as well, from the wisdom of that is that the pathways are many, and that the devil, he is diligent and he has many calls of deviation to lead the people astray, and even some of them are very similar to the call of the prophets and messengers, but in reality there are great differences. And meaning that the devil, يُلَبِّسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that the devil, he will decorate the falsehood with truth and make it seem appealing and tell people who will be confused, except for those whom Allah has chosen and favored with knowledge. With knowledge, so the one who has knowledge, he'll be able to identify the truth from the falsehood and the right from the wrong and the upright guidance from deviation and the lowly way, from deviation and the lowly way. And likewise, the author, he mentioned rahimahullah, that with regards to knowledge, it's in two aspects: a type of knowledge that's an incumbent obligation upon every sound-minded person of the age of puberty, that they must learn and know and believe and follow and implement in their life and abide by. And there are other aspects of knowledge after that, proceeding from that knowledge, which is not an obligation upon all of the believers to learn, but rather on some of them, which is considered a type of knowledge that is fard kifaya. If some of the believers, they learn it and establish it and understand it, then and carry it, and understand it and carry it, then this will suffice the others. And this type of knowledge is high and lofty and very virtuous, yani after the obligatory knowledge. No doubt the obligatory knowledge takes precedence, but those who, after learning that obligatory knowledge, then seek and learn this knowledge here that's considered fard kifaya, then this is from the greatest means to achieve the high ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to bear that burden, to carry that responsibility and learn and carry that knowledge, that sacred knowledge, and suffice the rest of the believers with regards to this. So from here, many of the scholars from the early generations and the later generations, like Al-Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah, all the way through An-Nawawi, and likewise Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahumallahu ta'ala, they mentioned that seeking knowledge is the most virtuous action after the obligatory actions. Seeking knowledge is the most virtuous and beneficial action after performing the obligatory affairs, meaning seeking this knowledge that's considered fard kifaya, meaning seeking this knowledge that's considered fard kifaya. So knowledge is the foundation, and the foundation of that knowledge is the knowledge of at-tawheed, is the knowledge of at-tawheed, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which He has made Himself known by way of in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise in the sunnah of His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as knowing Him by His lordship, as well as clarified in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also from the sunnah of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also knowing Him from His lordship and power and his authority from pondering over the creation around us, to know Allah azza wa jalla from His tawheed, and to realize from this that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the greatest knowledge. And from there, one will learn about the messengers and prophets of Allah and that which Allah has ordered to believe in. And belief is based upon knowledge. So one will learn about the pillars of al-Islam and the pillars of al-Iman and the pillar of al-Ihsan and the affairs that are mentioned in the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. Atakum yu'allimukum innahu Jibreel, atakum yu'allimukum dinakum. Indeed, that was Jibreel. He came to you to teach you your religion. So these affairs, they are of utmost importance and they take precedence. And they take precedence. And this is something that's of that is a methodology in a way in seeking knowledge. The first issue here is seeking knowledge, but there's a methodology and a way in doing that, the way of a salaf as-salih. So there is a Salafi methodology in seeking knowledge. So the first principle and the Salafi methodology and the Salafi call is that they give great importance to knowledge and seeking knowledge and gaining understanding in the religion. And in reality, likewise, there's a methodology with regards to that. There's a methodology with regards to that. Many people, maybe they ascribe to the Salafi da'wah, but their methodology in seeking knowledge is not in accordance to the methodology of the Salafi da'wah, whether they pick and choose and they jump and they go beyond their boundaries and they don't know their limits and they will seek knowledge according to their desires, not according to the advice of the scholars and the experienced students of knowledge. They will jump and they will move here and move there and they will leave off that which is a priority or that which is an obligation and that which is incumbent and that which takes precedence. And this right here is contrary to the Salafi methodology in seeking knowledge. What does that mean? Contrary to the Salafi methodology in seeking knowledge.
It's in opposition to the companions.
It's in opposition to the companions. Barakallah fiqh. Right on the, he hit the head, the nail on the head. That doing that, they're in opposition. They're contrary. They're not seeking knowledge the way the companions, they sought knowledge. Radiallahu anhu, nor of the tabi'een, nor of the atba' tabi'een. And either in contradiction to the methodology of the Salaf, meaning the way of the companions. And the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een radiallahu anhum, because they did not seek knowledge like that. Because they did not seek knowledge like that. Rather, they began with that which is a priority, in the first obligation, the greatest obligation, and that is aqidah and tawheed. أَوَّلُ وَاجِبٍ عَلَى الْأَبِيدِ مَعْرِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ. The first obligation upon the slaves is to know Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala with his tawheed. With his tawheed, to know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, to know him by his rububiyyah and by his asma'i wa sifat, and to know that he alone is the true God worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know how to worship him in a manner pleasing and prescribed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many benefits to mention here and many affairs to discuss and a brief period of time. And we hope to finish in the allotted time to the best of our ability. The first one is with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You must know, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. You must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this is in order to know Allah. This is in order to know Allah and to know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. And it's directed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the order for his ummah likewise is incumbent. Likewise is incumbent. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Al-Fawaid, he mentions some benefits with regards to this. He says, fa'idah, benefit. مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْرِفُ اللَّهَ بِالْجُودِ وَالْإِفْضَالِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالْعَفْوِ وَالْحِلْمِ وَالتَّجَاوُزِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالْبَطْشِ وَالْإِنْتِقَامِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالْعِزَّةِ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالْبِرِّ وَالْلُّطْفِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِالْقَهْرِ وَالْمُلْكِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَعْرِفُهُ بِإِجَابَةِ دَعْوَتِهِ وَإِغَاثَةِ لَهْفَتِهِ وَقَضَاءِ حَاجَتِهِ. He says, rahimahullah, among the people there are those who know Allah through His generosity, bounty, and kindness. Some know Him through His forgiveness, patience, and pardoning of sins. Others recognize Him through His punishment and retribution. Some know Him through His knowledge and wisdom, while others know Him through His might and majesty. Some recognize Him through His mercy, grace, and kindness. Others know Him through His dominion, sovereignty, and power. And there are those who know Him by His answering of prayers, relieving distress, and fulfilling needs. The people, their knowledge is limited with regards to the affairs of Tawheed. Some people, they know Allah from certain aspects. from certain aspects. When they find themselves in trouble, they know Allah. When they find themselves in stress and distress, suddenly they know Allah. And they called on Him knowing that He's the one who relieves distress and He's the one who saves those who are in danger, and He's the one who helps those who are in need. At that time they called on Him. And they know Him in this manner, and Allah responds to them because He responds to those who call on Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, whenever they want something and they hope for something, they know Allah from His mercy and His generosity, and they beg Allah for their need and the likes like this, and so on and so forth. So some people, they know Allah, but only from particular aspects, or their knowledge of Him is focused on certain attributes and characteristics, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what he means. He says, وَأَمُّ هَؤُلَاءِ مَعْرِفَةً مَنْ عَرَفَهُ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْرِفُ رَبًّا قَدْ اجْتَمَعَتْ لَهُ صِفَاتُ الْكَمَالِ وَنُعُودُ الْجَلَالِ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنِ الْمِثَالِ بَرِيءٌ مِنَ النَّقَائِصِ وَالْعُيُوبِ لَهُ كُلُّ اسْمٍ حَسَنٍ وَكُلُّ وَصْفٍ كَمَالٍ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ فَوْقَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمَعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَقَادِرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَمُقِيمٌ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ آمر ناه متكلم بكلماته الدينية والكونية أكبر من كل شيء وأجمل من كل شيء أرحم الراحمين وأقدر القادرين وأحكم الحاكمين. He said, the most comprehensive knowledge belongs to those who know Allah through His words, meaning the book of Allah, the Quran. And they recognize from studying the Quran a Lord who possesses all attributes of perfection and majesty, free from any imperfections or deficiencies. He has all the most beautiful names and every attribute of perfection. He does as He wills. He is above everything and with everything. Meaning by His knowledge. مَعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَيْ بِعِلْمِهِ الْمُحِيطِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى. Meaning by He's with everything, meaning by His encompassing knowledge, capable of everything and sustaining all things. He commands, forbids, and speaks through His divine and universal decrees. He is, and in the legislative, through His legislative and universal decrees. And He is greater than all things and more beautiful than anything, and the most merciful of the merciful, and the most capable of the capable, and the wisest of the wise. فَالْقُرْآنُ أُنْزِلَ لِتَعْرِيفِ عِبَادِهِ بِهِ وَبِصِرَاطِهِ الْمُوصِلِ إِلَيْهِ وَبِحَالِ السَّالِكِينَ بَعْدَ الْوُصُولِ إِلَيْهِ. So the Quran was revealed to acquaint His servants with Him, to guide them to the path leading to Him, and to describe the state of those who traverse that path after reaching Him. And to clarify the beauty and the majesty and authority and the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal and His right to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to clarify the path that leads to Him, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is the straight path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim, which consists of commandments and prohibitions. Commandments and prohibitions and other affairs likewise that are recommended, so on and so forth. But the head of that is the commandments and prohibitions. This is the path that leads to Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the Quran has come to clarify the state of those who know Allah, traverse that path and reach His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning clarifying the condition of the believers in Jannah, So this is the most important knowledge, and this is the first knowledge, the knowledge of At-Tawheed. And the people of knowledge, they mention at the head of them Ibn al-Qayyim, and I would hear this from our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Razak, many times, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, he would say, "The man kana billahi a'raf, kana minhu akhwaf. Man kana billahi a'raf, kana minhu akhwaf." The more a person has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear Him. So the true knowledge that we seek and that we learn is knowledge that produces reverence and fear. And the sign of having true reverence and fear and love for Allah is that one, he will have reverence and show great honor for His legislation and law. He will show great reverence and honor and respect for the commandments and prohibitions. These affairs will have a great place in his heart. The commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the obligatory commandments first and foremost, and the prohibitions of Allah, the ultimate mandatory prohibitions first and foremost, these affairs here will have a great position in the heart of a true believer. He will revere them, he will love them, he will respect them, he will honor them. If anything from that is violated, it would bother him, it would disturb him, he would dislike that. If he violated that, or his family violated that, or anybody in life violated that, this is something that would disturb him. He will not like it. This is something that would disturb him. He will not like it. He will not like for these rights to be disrespected. This is an indication of the sound faith and the true love and reverence for Allah. So by truly revering and respecting Allah is by revering and respecting the commands of Allah and respecting the prohibitions of Allah and respecting the deen of Allah that leads to his pleasure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. The more a person has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear Allah. That's if that knowledge is sincere. So maybe someone will attain beneficial knowledge, but it's not beneficial for him. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Malik al-Ashja'i, or al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, sahih Muslim, al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. So the knowledge is beneficial in itself, but not everyone who obtains it benefits. Rather, some people are harmed by it because they have bad intentions and lowly desires. They have bad intentions and lowly desires. So the one who truly carries this knowledge, whether he has a little or a lot, it would increase him in fear of Allah and reverence of Allah and respect of his commandments and his prohibitions. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ. This is coming from the statement of Ibn Qayyim. Shaykh Abdul Razak, he would always add to this, وَمَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. The more one has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear Allah. And the more he will seek to worship and draw near to Allah. And the further he will be from the disobedience of Allah. مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرَفْ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفْ وَلِعِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبْ وَعَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدْ. The more one has knowledge of Allah, the more he will fear Allah. And the more he will seek to worship and draw near to Allah, and the further he will be away from the disobedience of Allah. This is the reality of the beneficial knowledge, the beneficial knowledge. From the key points of seeking knowledge, according to the methodology of the Salaf, is to prioritize and to seek knowledge gradually. To seek knowledge gradually. Shaykh Abdul Salam, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his work, Awa'iq al-Talib, we studied in our previous seminar last year at this time, on the eighth a'iq, the eighth obstacle, he mentioned not seeking knowledge gradually. This is an obstacle in seeking knowledge, prohibiting a person from reaching his goal. So this is what the author he's referring to in the end of the portion, mentioning the transmission from Al-Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, directing the students to study in this particular manner. He mentioned that there's no specific detailed way that everyone must follow. I mean, you must begin with this one and this one and this one first and foremost. But in general, there is a methodology, and that is to seek knowledge gradually. And the people of knowledge, they clarified that seeking knowledge gradually, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ بِالتَّدَرُّجِ, it comes in general and specific. In general, meaning in all of the sciences, in general, you seek knowledge like this. You pick one science before the other, the one that takes precedence, and then you move to the other one before you go to the others. And likewise, inside that science, you make tadarruj. You seek knowledge gradually. You seek knowledge gradually. So, for example, in the science of hadith, there are many sciences in the science of hadith. But before you get to that science, there's other sciences that precede that. And even if you make it to the science of hadith, the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil is not the first one you begin with. There's other asul that precede that, that precede that. So even if a person, he made it to this science following the proper procedure, then he jumped the game, he jumped the stages to get to this other science from the science, then he's not following the proper methodology. You have to be patient. You have to be patient. You have to have perseverance, and you need guidance in this affair. So someone who's been guided to the path of seeking knowledge is not sufficient. He needs to be guided detail. He needs guidance now, detailed guidance upon the path of seeking knowledge. Just like being guided to the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's one thing. But detailed guidance on the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jal is another. Detailed, you have general guidance to come to the straight path, but in order to traverse upon that way and to live and die upon that way, you have to have detailed knowledge. You have to have detailed knowledge, because some people, they come to the straight path in general, but they don't make it to the end, meaning they do not die on the straight path. They do not remain steadfast upon the straight path until death comes to them. Rather, they come to the straight path and they follow it for some time and then they swerve away. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and death will come to them in that manner. So it requires detailed knowledge. General knowledge to reach the path and detailed knowledge to remain upon the path. So likewise, general knowledge to realize the fact that it's an obligation to seek knowledge or the virtue of seeking knowledge, but then to order to do that and to reach the goal of seeking knowledge and to truly benefit, you have to have detailed knowledge.
You have to have detailed knowledge. In general, it's going to, you're going to learn as you come, but this goes by learning the proper methodology and benefiting from those who are qualified and experienced in this affair. Who are qualified and experienced in this affair. There are many narrations with regards to this. We suffice with one. There are many affairs being discussed about this. We suffice with one. If those who want to have more details, they can go back to the eighth obstacle we discussed in the previous explanation of the book, Awa'iq al-Talab. In other words, likewise before that, in the manners of the student and the teacher, we discussed these issues in much detail, mentioning many narrations. But here we have the narration of Yunus ibn Yazid. Yunus ibn Yazid al-Aydi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 159. From the Atba' Tabi'in. Rahimahullah ta'ala, qala li ibn Shihab. Ibn Shihab, he said to me, rahimahullah. Ibn Shihab is Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He died in the year 124 from the Tabi'in. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah, he's from the first to collect the narrations and to write them down at the command of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 101 from the great Khulafa of Bani Umayyah and scholars of the Sunnah. He said, Ya Yunus, la tukabir al-ilm. فإن العلم مثل الأودية فأي واد دخلت فيه سيتعبك قبل أن تبلغ نهايته سيتعبك قبل أن تبلغ نهايته ولكن خذ العلم شيئا فشيئا مع الأيام والليالي لا تروم العلم جملة فمن رامه جملة ذهب عنه جملة ولكن خذ شيئا بعد شيئا مع الأيام والليالي. From Yunus ibn Yazid al-Aydi, rahimahullah, he said that Ibn Shihab, he said to me, giving me advice, Ya Yunus, O Yunus, do not approach knowledge with arrogance, for knowledge is like valleys. Whichever one you enter, it will exhaust you, tire you out before you reach the end. Instead, take knowledge gradually over days and nights. This man, he died in the year 124. He's from the first men to write the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and collect them at the command of the Khalifa of that day. In Sahih Bukhari, it's mentioned, Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's from the first to write down the narrations and collect them, to go through the different lands and to collect the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to write them down and to record them, and to collect them in written form and to spread them in this manner like this. He's from the first to do that. And he's from the first students of knowledge writing the hadith. You understand this? What is he telling his students? Ya Yunus, la tukabir al-ilm. Oh, Yunus, do not approach knowledge with arrogance. Don't think you're going to overpower this knowledge and the likes like this. Don't try to just jump on it or pounce on it and get it all at one time. He said, knowledge is like valleys. Whichever one you enter, it will wear you out before you reach the end of it. Before you get to the other side, you'll be tired and finished. It's not possible for you to exhaust all of it. The knowledge is like an ocean, literally. And it's like an ocean with no shore. بَحْرٌ لَا سَاحِلَ لَهُ. Every science is like this. The science of the Arabic language is like that. The science of Nahu is like that. The science of Sarf is like that. The science of Matan al-Lugha is like that. The science, yani if you go, and when you move to Tafsir or you move to the Quran, the science of the Quran and the writing of the Quran, the Rasm of the Mushaf and the Usul of the Quran. So many sciences, you just get involved in one of them before you can get to the end of it, you'll be finished. You could spend a lifetime in these affairs. And one science from the sciences of a science. Understand what I'm saying? One science from the science of a major science, you can get lost. You can get lost. So do not become arrogant. Do not try to overpower the knowledge. It will wear you out before you reach the end. And it's too much. He said, instead take knowledge gradually over days and nights. Do not attempt to acquire it all at once. Whoever seeks to take it all at once will lose much in that manner. لا تروم العلم جملة فمن رامه جملة ذهب عنه جملة. Do not try to get knowledge all at one time. And whoever tries to get knowledge all at one time, it will leave him all at one time. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, rather take it little by little over the days and the nights. Rather, walakin khudhu shay'an fa shay'an or shay'an ba'da shay' ma'al ayami wa liyali. Then take it little by little along with the days and the nights. Hadith and hadithain. Yawman yawmain, like this. Ayatain, safha safhatain, like this. Mas'ala mas'alatain, little by little, qalilan qalila, and after some time, it will gather with you if you learn it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And you follow the issue of tadarruj and also the issue of al-awwaliyat, yani taqdeem al-awwaliyat, showing preference to the things that are priorities, prioritizing things that takes preference. Then after some time, you will find that you're standing on a strong foundation and you have a lot of benefit and light with you. You have a lot of benefit and light with you. And this is something I have mentioned for the brothers before. And just to share my own experience, and when I first began seeking knowledge, particularly in Medina, I would study, alhamdulillah. We would go to school and we would sit with the people of knowledge and we would learn. And I did not necessarily realize the benefit that I'm obtaining, alhamdulillah, initially. But whenever I would come home in the summer times and I would sit with my brothers and we would discuss, any of the brothers that are from my land in Oklahoma and the likes like this, and we would sit and we would talk and we would discuss issues in the religion, suddenly I'm remembering this fatwa, and then I'm remembering this issue and that issue, and I realized, subhanAllah, I benefited the past year. But I didn't realize this until I'm sitting with my brothers and we start discussing and they ask questions or topics come up or they mention things about a hadith or I remember a narration that I learned and so on and so forth. And alhamdulillah, benefit was there by the grace and mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the point is maybe initially you don't feel it or you don't see it. And some people they'll say, oh, I'm seeking knowledge, but I'm not benefiting. Wallahi, you're benefiting. If you're sincere, you're benefiting. You're benefiting. The Prophet, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these gatherings, the gatherings of knowledge, la yashqa minhum jalis, that not one of them who sits with them is miserable. And nobody loses out, even the one in the back who's barely paying attention. From the virtue of the gatherings of knowledge, even the one in the back who's barely paying attention, or maybe the one who's sleeping and likes like this, he's sharing in the mercy. He's sharing in the mercy because of the virtue of the likes of these gatherings, the gatherings of knowledge where the angels, they attend, may Allah make our gatherings from them. The point is that this man, this great scholar, Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 124 from the greatest scholars of hadith of the tabi'in, rahmatullahi alayhi. This is his advice. This is his advice. Seek knowledge gradually. Do not try to overpower the knowledge. Do not be arrogant and think you're going to get it all at one time, because it will leave you all at one time. You must prioritize. Likewise, from the later generations, we have some benefit as well. We just read it and move on. It's from the statements of Imam As-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a great work, many great works. And he has a great work with regards to the principles of jurisprudence. And he has a poem. It's called Manzuma Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. Manzuma Al-Qawa'id Al-Fiqhiyya. The poem with regards to the principles of Islamic jurisprudence. And it's a very beneficial. It's a very beneficial work, and it's from the first works a student of knowledge will memorize with regards to these principles. It's from the first works a student of knowledge in these days is encouraged to memorize with regards to these principles. In the introduction, he mentions some benefits. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, اِعْلَمْ هُدِيْتَ أَنَّ أَفْضَلِ الْمِنِنْ إِلْمٌ يُزِيلُ شَكَّ عَنْكَ وَالدَّرَنْ وَيَكْشِفُ الْحَقَّ لِذِي الْقُلُوبِ ويوصل العبد إلى المطلوب فاحرص على فهمك للقواعد جامعة المسائل الشوارد لترتقي في العلم خير المرتقى وتقتفي سبل الذي قد وفقا فهذه قواعد نظمتها من كتب أهل العلم قد حصلتها جزاهم المولى عظيم الأجر والعفو مع غفرانه والبر والعفو مع غفرانه والبر. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, know, may you be guided, that the best of all blessings is knowledge that removes doubt and impurity. The best of all blessings is knowledge. Which knowledge? يُزِيلُ الشَّكَّ عَنْكَ وَالدَّرَنْ. The knowledge that removes doubts, shubuhat, and daran, the impurities. What is that? The shahawat, the sins, the lusts and impermissible desires. So true knowledge is knowledge that removes the shubuhat and alleviates the shahawat. You understand that? It reveals the shubuhat and removes them. It brings certainty and alleviates and removes a person from the trials of the impermissible lust and desires. This is the greatest blessing and knowledge. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُمْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضُّ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And it reveals the truth to those with hearts sincere, leading the servant to the objective that is sought and clear. Strive then to grasp the principles that are profound, encompassing scattered issues tightly bound. So he's referring here to the fact that you must, this greatest blessing is this knowledge. And the description of that knowledge is it removes doubts and desires and whims. And he says, since this is the case, you must be diligent to learn the fundamentals. This is the point that I want to mention. He says, so strive then to grasp the fundamentals that are profound. فَحْرِسْ عَلَى فَهْمِكَ لِلْقَوَاعِدِ جامعة المسائل الشواردي. These principles here, they gather many issues. many issues. This one's over here, this one's over there, this one's over there. The issue, what if you prayed and you forgot to make wudu, or if you lost wudu in the middle of the prayer, or if you are fasting and you eat some food and you forgot. So on. So many different issues, so many different things, so many different topics, so many different questions that come up with regards to the religion. There are principles that all of these issues go back to. There are principles that all of these issues go back to. You understand? So if you try to memorize all these different issues here, wiping on the sock, how many days, if you're traveling, if you're not traveling, like this, or if you have wiping on a jabira or a bandage, so on and so forth. Oh, these are different issues in the religion. So there's so many different issues. If you want to memorize every one of them, you will not be able to. And it will take a long time. It will be very difficult. But these issues, they go back to fundamentals. So if you memorize and learn these fundamentals, whenever these issues appear, and you find yourself in that circumstance, you will know the ruling, because you know the principle. Because you know the principle. You understand? So this is what he's saying here. So be diligent. فَحْرِسْ عَلَى فَهْمِكَ لِلْقَوَاعِدِ. This is sincere advice. Be diligent to learn the principles. Be diligent to learn the fundamentals. Because they gather all these different scattered issues in the religion. He says, in order, if you do this so that you may ascend in knowledge to that loftiest height. And this is how you reach a high level in knowledge. Following the path of those who are guided to the right. You need the previous, before, this is what they were upon. They learn in this way, as we've seen by the advice of Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah ta'ala, that you learn the principles, you learn the fundamentals, you learn the foundations, little by little, shay'an fa shay'an, in this manner like this. Here are principles I have composed in rhyme, derived from the scholars' works over time. May the Lord reward them with immense grace and grant them forgiveness, mercy, and righteousness in the best place. اعلم هديت أن أفضل المنن علم يزيل الشك عنك والدران ويكشف الحق للقلوب ويوصل العبد إلى المطلوب فاحرص على فهمك للقواعد جامعة المسائل الشوارد لترتقي في العلم خير المرتقى وتقتفي سبل الذي قد وفقا فهذه قواعد نظمتها من كتب أهل العلم قد حصلتها جزاهم المولى عظيم الأجر والعفو مع غفرانه والبر. This is from the benefits of Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. With regards to this, likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned a very famous statement, and it's also a principle in itself. Man hurima al-usul, hurima al-usul. Man hurima al-usul, hurima al-usul. Whoever neglects the foundations is deprived of reaching the destination. Whoever neglects the foundations is deprived of reaching the destination. I want to read that which we have here. This concise principle carries profound meanings in the seeking and the pursuit of knowledge and understanding. It signifies that anyone who overlooks the study of fundamental principles and core foundations of any discipline will fail to grasp its branches and ultimately miss achieving the goals. You understand that? How can you reach the branch, the fruit on the branch, if you can't even get up the trunk? Right? You have to go from the proper manner. You don't go through the doors, you don't enter the houses from the back doors. Right, he mentioned from the front doors. Allah, he mentioned that in his book. And the people of knowledge, they use the same parable with regards to seeking knowledge. You come to the affairs from their doors, from the proper manners. You don't come around and try to go around the back and try to take shortcuts and the likes like this. In reality, in the end, you're going to get cut off. So from the benefits that we learn from this principle here, man hurima al-usul, hurima al-usul, that whoever neglects the foundations is deprived of reaching the destination, the importance of fundamentals. So the fundamentals are the base and the bedrock upon which any field of knowledge is built. Neglecting them results in an unstable and incomplete understanding. Maybe he will have some knowledge, but he will not have grounded knowledge. He will not have firm knowledge. He will not have knowledge that will be a means to guide him in times of fitting, in times of trial, in times of confusion, in times of problem, and turmoil, and the likes like this. So they'll have knowledge, but whenever the storm comes, they'll not be able to wear it, whether they'll be taken with the fitin. That's why you find these people, one day they're on this, and the next day they're on that. The one day they're saying this, and the next day they're saying that. And the one day they were them, and the next day were them, and the likes like this. But as for those who build a strong foundation, regardless of what happens, they say the same thing. You listen to them today, they say the same thing. If you listen to them 10 years ago, they're saying the same thing. Inshallah, if you listen to them in 10 years, they're saying the same thing. They're on the same way. They're on the same path. Their principles did not change. Their ideologies did not change. Their methodology did not change. It's all the same thing. They're saying the same thing. Maybe they have learned more and it's a more clear, profound manner. But in any case, they're upon the same path. Upon the same path. As for those who are not grounded, they're not deeply rooted in these principles, then whenever the wind comes, it knocks them over. Just like the trees. Just like the trees. Some of the trees, they look beautiful. But sometimes they also get top heavy. What happens when the wind comes? They fall down. When they fall down, they hurt things, right? People get hurt. So that when these trees fall, not only do they take themselves out, sometimes they take out other people's property likewise. You understand? And like this, people who are not grounded in knowledge, whenever the fitting and the trials come, they fall. And many times they take out people along with them. وَلِيَثِ بِاللَّهِ. So to get a strong foundation is of utmost importance. مَنْ حُرِمَ الْأُصُولُ حُرِمَ الْوُصُولُ. So prioritizing the fundamentals, learning should begin with foundational principles and essential rules before delving into details. Starting with advanced topics without a strong base leads to confusion and error. A person will be confused and then he will fall into error. He will say things and they'll be wrong because he doesn't know what he's saying, because he doesn't have fundamentals. People want to jump the stages and they start speaking about affairs that they don't have fundamentals with regards to. They're going to say things that are wrong. And many people who do not know, or they themselves are ignorant, they may appear to be very knowledgeable. But then if they're in the company of someone who has foundations in that particular science that he's discussing, will say, man, this person's a fool. They will say, man, this person's a fool. A fool. People are doing these affairs today. Oh, I know a lot about Jarh Wadadiyah. You don't know anything about Jarh Wadadiyah. You never have studied Jarh Wadadiyah. You never even studied Mustalah Hadith. You barely can even read the Arabic language. You didn't even study Ajrumiyyah. You know nothing about Sarf. How are you going to get into Jarh Wadadiyah? Huh? Sarf Jarh. Jarh, Jarh. What's the morphology of this word? Do you say Jaraha Yajruhu or Yajrahu Yajrihu? Which one do you say? Jaraha Yajruhu or Yajrahu Yajrihu? Which one do you say? Do you say jaraha jarhan or jurhan? وَمَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْجَرْحِ وَالْجُرْحِ. What's the difference between jarh and jurh? Some of them make that mistake. They say, I studied jurh with ta'adil. Al-jurh with ta'adil, astaghfirullah ya akhi. Al-jurh is a wound in the skin. And al-jarh is criticizing the honor and reputation. Big difference, right? Between a wound in the skin and a wound in the reputation. One letter, al-jurh wal-jarh. But these are fundamentals that a person who truly studied al-jarh wa ta'dil, he'll be based upon them. And then somebody who comes, he never even read any of these affairs, or the affairs before that likewise, and then he wants to talk about this and claim that he knows and claim that he's learning. He loves it and he's infatuated. Yeah, you're infatuated. But it's not proper and it's not correct. You've been misled by the devil, brother. Ittaqillah. Study the books of the manners of seeking knowledge before seeking knowledge. Study the books of the manners of seeking knowledge before seeking knowledge. This will save you by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. This will save you from the likes of these silly things that people fall into and they do. So the comprehensive foundations stacked as a roadmap, guiding students toward the correct understanding and helping them avoid mistakes. These fundamental principles, they act as a roadmap, as a blueprint. That it means to guide a person to the correct understanding and helping them to avoid falling into mistakes, learning gradually. Likewise, this is a principle. Learning gradually, this principle emphasizes the necessity of gradual learning and not rushing results. Mastery comes from grasping the fundamentals first. And anyone who truly wants to study the sciences of the Islamic legislation, he must first learn the Arabic language. And I mentioned many times, we're not talking about learning about the Arabic language. We're talking about learning the Arabic language. And there's a difference between learning about the Arabic language and learning the Arabic language. Do you understand that part? You can learn about the Arabic language and you still don't know Arabic. Many people, they learn a lot about the Arabic language, but they cannot speak, read, or understand Arabic fluently. Maybe he can read it fluently, but he does not know what he's saying. Maybe he catches one or two words, but he doesn't know what they mean in entirety. Or he will misunderstand the context and misinterpret the meaning and the likes like this. So if you want to truly study the Islamic sciences and Islamic legislation, you have to learn the Arabic language. Not learn about the Arabic language, you have to learn the Arabic language. How do you learn the Arabic language? By translation. Can you learn the Arabic language if it's translated for you? You'll never learn the Arabic language if it's translated for you. No one learned and became fluent and precise in the Arabic language by translation. By translation. That's why people, you hear them say, I studied book one, book two, book three, but they never learned Arabic language. He still doesn't know the Arabic language. He still cannot hold a minimum conversation. He still does not know what the Imam said at Fajr. He still doesn't read the hadith of the Prophet. He still makes mistakes in understanding the statements of Sheikh Fawzan. Rahimahullah ta'ala. Understand? Because, but he read book one, book two, book three, even studied them with a teacher. But it was all translated. So therefore, he didn't learn the Arabic language. He just learned something about the Arabic language. So in reality, he wasted a lot of time. In reality, he wasted a lot of time. It didn't go anywhere. He still doesn't know the Arabic language. He did this book, that book, and that book, and he's done. And he still doesn't know the Arabic language. So how about somebody who even jumped further than that and studied a book like Ajrumiyya, for example, and he still doesn't know the Arabic language. So before you go to that book, you have to learn the Arabic language. Because this book here is meant for those who know the Arabic language. So if you still don't know vocabulary and you need your teacher to explain to you words, many words in this text, what they mean, then that means you didn't reach that level yet, barakallah fik. Because this book is not a book you learn vocabulary from. You don't learn vocabulary from Al-Ajrumiyya. You don't learn that vocabulary from Tasrif Al-Izzi. You don't learn vocabulary from Shad Al-Arf. You don't learn vocabulary from any major, maybe there's some few words or strange words, maybe you will learn some vocabulary. That's not what I mean, but to the general words, you're not learning, for these are not books for learning vocabulary. The books for learning vocabulary is in the books of Medina, and the books of Muhammad Saud, and the books of Umm Qura, and the likes like these books. These books are geared for you learning vocabulary and learning the general principles and how to arrange sentences and structure and the likes like this and morphology. So you can read these books and understand them and then study them. And then study them. All of this is going back to the principle here of making tadarruj and following the way of the Salaf and seeking knowledge. Gradually learning, showing prioritize. Wallahi, you have to get advice from those who know and then follow that advice. And then follow that advice if you're truly sincere and you want to learn. If you're truly sincere and want to learn. So before diving into advanced studies, we must focus on mastering the fundamentals from reliable sources. We have to understand that this is the good and proper way. And the one who learns in this manner, the knowledge will become sweet. The knowledge will become sweet. Because everything after that goes back to this. And now if he truly understands after some time, his heart and his chest will expand. Because knowledge makes your heart big, gives you a big heart. When it's sincere, it opens your heart. فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ وَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ الْإِسْلَامِ So whoever Allah wants to guide, he'll open his heart to Islam. So whenever you have a lot of knowledge, it opens your heart. It opens your chest. You're able to deal with a lot of problems in the good way. You're able to face a lot of challenges with patience and humbleness and forbearance and a good intention, hoping good for others. You're able to check your soul and the likes like this. You're not fast, you're not reckless, you're not easily agitated. You're not gonna be perfect. You're gonna have mistakes, you're gonna have shortcomings, but they're going to be few and rare compared to before. The knowledge is gonna benefit you. The knowledge is going to benefit you, so you're going to feel better, so you're going to be able to handle things, you're going to be able to deal with things, and the likes like this. So this is from learning little by little, and then you will taste the sweetness of knowledge, and from that, the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith, everything in life that you face goes back to these principles. And the one who learns in this manner, the Qur'an and the Sunnah, and the narrations of the Salaf, radiyallahu anhum, he will have an answer for everything. You'll have an answer for everything in life, because the Quran and the Sunnah, the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the proper religion, it solves all problems. So you will either have a detailed answer for that question and problem or that challenge and situation, or you have a general principle to face it and to clarify the proper manner to approach it. The proper manner to approach it, because the Quran and the Sunnah is guidance and light for all time. Either direct rulings mentioned about specific issues, or their general principles encompassing all aspects of life. So those who learn these detailed evidences and likewise these general principles, then anything that happens in life, he will be able to efface that. He'll be able to mention an ayah and explain the issue and how to move properly. He'll be able to mention a hadith or a statement from the Sahaba and the likes like this, or from the Tabi'een with that situation that he's facing with his family. And the likes like this, his child will come to him and say something or do something and say, no, you shouldn't do that. This is why, this is why, this is why. Allah says this, and the principle is this. And then like this. They want to do this, and say, no, I think that's extremism. The Prophet, the scholars, they say this, this, and this. You have an answer for them. And it's an answer that's a sanity answer. Sanity answer. There's nothing you can say after that. Because then the principles, all of them are solid and sound. Solid and sound. You understand? So this is a very beneficial. The knowledge that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the beneficial knowledge. إِعْلَمْ هُدِيتَ إِعْلَمْ هُدِيتَ أَنَّ أَفْضَلَ الْمِنِنْ إِلْمٌ يُزِيرُ شَكَّ عَنْكَ وَالدَّرَنْ. You must know that the greatest of all bounties and favors is knowledge. The knowledge that will remove the doubts from you and the filth. The filth, the desires, and the whims. The desires and the whims. The desires and the whims. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. What time is it? 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. Sheikh Abdul Salam, rahimahullah, in the eighth obstacle in Awaqi Talib, he transmitted a statement from Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great Maliki scholars, from his work at Tamheed, which is from the explanations of the Muwatta, one of those very beneficial and reliable books with regards to the clarification of the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He died in the year 463. He mentioned a long passage. I will summarize the end of it, and we just read it in English. So he says, rahimahullah, so my brother, focus on memorizing foundational principles and give them the utmost attention. Know that whoever devotes themselves to memorizing the sunnah, the rulings explicitly mentioned in the Quran, examines the statements of the fuqaha and uses them as an instrumental tool for personal reasoning and ijtihad, opening pathways to understanding, interpreting the broader meanings of the sunnah, and avoids blind falling while adhering to the sunnah, this person embodies the practice of the pious and the righteous predecessors. The pious and the righteous predecessors. So he's mentioning here, rahimahullah ta'ala, that this is the methodology and the way of the pious and the righteous predecessors, the way of the Salaf as-Salih, by focusing on these fundamental principles and learning them first, and then memorizing the Quran and the Sunnah, and benefiting from the statements of the fuqaha without blind following. Without blind following, then he has embodied the practice and the methodology of a Salaf as-Salih. He said they are aligned with the truth, progressing on the right path, adhering to the Prophet's Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the guidance of his companions radiyallahu anhum. Thus, this is the correct approach to seeking knowledge and following the pious predecessors. This is the correct approach to seeking knowledge and following the pious predecessors. So again, the methodology of the pious predecessors, any al-manhaj as-salafi fi talab al-ilm bit-tadarruj وَالتَّقْدِيمُ الْأَوَّلِيَاتِ الْبِدَايَةِ بِالْأَهَمِّ فَالْأَهَمِّ. You begin with that which is most important, and you prioritize after that. And you study little by little in one science and likewise in a science itself. In one science and likewise in a science itself. So seeking knowledge is a priority from the Salafi call. But there's a Salafi way of seeking knowledge. And also from the most important principles, and seeking knowledge according to the Salafi manhaj is that which is clarified in the well-known narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 110, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een. He says, "Inna hadha ad-din ilmun, fanzuru amman ta'khuduna dinakum." You must know that this knowledge is your deen, and you must look to where you take your deen from. Huh? You must look to where you take your deen from. You don't just go to YouTube and take this one and take that one. And take this one and take that one. We've seen before, even if he has a tazkiyah, even if he's has a doctor's degree. Some of them, wallahi, you can see them today. You see them and you look at him, he has no knowledge. Just from the way he looks, the people of knowledge, they have a demeanor and a manner that they carry themselves. They have a way that they wear their clothes. They have a way that they act, a way that they dress. The true people of knowledge, they don't just act anyway. They don't just wear anything. They don't just do anything. Some of them today are wearing ball caps to the side and the likes like this, or with disbelieving clubs or the likes like this. What kind of stuff is it? And he's a scholar or a teacher? He's not a teacher, he's not a role model. This man is misguided. Clearly not following the way of the Salaf. In other words, wallahi, the people of knowledge, they find it blameworthy. They find it blameworthy and from the imitation of the disbelievers walking outside with your head uncovered. And it's normal for the layman maybe, but the people of knowledge, they find it blameworthy. Sheikh Rabi, Hafidhullah, in some of his works, he mentions that there was a great calamity seeing students in Medina walking around in the jamia without hats on, imitating the Christians and the Jews. If somebody wants to read it, I have it in his works. This is something he mentioned. The book is old. The book is more than 10, 11, 12 years old. Alhamdulillah. So students like this is not proper. This is not the way. They didn't learn that from their scholars. They didn't learn that from this. Nobody learned that from Sheikh Ibn Baz. Nobody learned that from Sheikh Uthaymeen. Nobody learned that from Sheikh Al-Albani. Nobody learned that from Sheikh Muqbil, rahimahumullah, or anyone before them, anyone after them. Their methodology and their way and their demeanor and the way that they carry themselves and the way that they dress is known. It's known. So the people who are on their way truly and following their way truly, they're going to follow them in their manners and their demeanor. Rather, the Salaf, they used to learn the manners and demeanor and the etiquettes and their conduct before they learn knowledge. And this has also been narrated from Muhammad ibn Sirin. كانوا يعلمون الهدي السمت والهدي كما يعلموننا العلم. They used to teach us manners and demeanor and conduct the way they would teach us knowledge. And they would say that we began with learning manners and etiquettes before we learned knowledge. And they would say, نحن إلى قليل من الأدب أحوج منا إلى كثير من العلم. Ibn Mubarak, he would say the likes of this, we need more, we're in need of just a little bit of manners more than we are in need of knowledge. More than we are in need of knowledge, because the people who obtain a lot of knowledge but have little manners, then that knowledge becomes a trial for them and for those they come in contact with. You understand that? So when you look on YouTube and you see on YouTube, you don't just take from anyone, you don't just take from everywhere. And people who have clear signs that there's a problem, you don't take from them, you don't listen to them, even if they have fluency or even if they're eloquent. And the likes like this, you take from the people who are reliable. مَنْ كَانَ مُخَاطِرًا فَلَا يُخَاطِرْ بِدِينِهِ. Whoever is going to take risks, you want to take risk in life, don't do that with your religion. You want to take a risk on a business deal, you want to go on the edge, you know, maybe you like this with your money, that's one thing. You want to take risks with these affairs in the dunya, that's dangerous. But whatever you do, don't take risks with your religion. Don't take risks with your religion. Don't take risks with your religion. So the religion is something that must be preserved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رَتْسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. رَاسُ الْأَمْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The head of the affair is al-Islam. So this one, it must be preserved. So from preserving the religion is being cautious and careful and diligent who you take from. And there's a moderate course likewise. Some people, they go to extremes. And nobody is Salafi and you can't take from nobody except for him. Except for him and his friends, like this. And anyone he says, like this. And they wind up blind following and making his bia and blind partisanship based upon this. That's not right. That's not right likewise. So there's a fine line. These things, they have details. But we don't go to this extreme and we don't go to that extreme. And there are people who are reliable and they're known. And the first thing that a person who's reliable and known by way of is from his past experience and the efforts and the goodness that he has put forward. And that which is known is seen from his statements and from his efforts. This is the clear sign that somebody is upright. If he has on top of that a degree or a tazkiyah or so on and so forth, or other qualifications, alhamdulillah, light upon light. But the one who has degrees and qualifications or recommendations, and then his actions are contrary, or his demeanor and conduct is contrary, and the likes like this, and that will not benefit him. Then that will not benefit him. That will not benefit him. Allahu al-musta'an. Allahu al-musta'an. We have time to read al-aslu al-thani. Everybody's good? Alhamdulillah. Dawratun mukathafa. You remember that part? Dawratun mukathafa. This is an intensive seminar. We're going to just read this portion here, that way later on, inshallah, we'll come back and discuss some details or benefits with regards to that. Al-Asl, the author, he says, Rahimahullah, Al-Asl Thani, Al-Hirsu, Ala, Al-Tatbiqi, Al-Amali, Lil-Islam. Allahu Akbar. He says, the second principle, diligence in practical application of Islam. Meaning, this is a fundamental from the Salafi call. We call the people to knowledge first and foremost, and after that, a practical application of that knowledge in daily life. You don't apply the principle when you're in the masjid or with your brother, rather you apply the principle everywhere you're at, in the market, in the business, in the occupation, in the school, wherever you go, you follow these fundamentals, these principles, you follow the knowledge that you learn. Everywhere in life. It's not specific to a place or a time. You want to learn this knowledge and implement it in your life daily, in public and in private. In public and in private. Diligence in practical application of Islam. So he says, Rahimahullah, هذا الحرص يشمل الحرص على العمل بالواجبات الشرعية كالصلوات الخمس وبر الوالدين. There's a mistake there. Fix it. وبر الوالدين ونحو ذلك. كما يشمل أيضا الحرص على الأمر بالسنة وإحيائها بين الناس من استطاع ما استطاع المسلم إلى ذلك السبيل كالنوافل والوتر وقيام الليل وقيام التطوع والإنفاق ونحوه أيضا يحرص على القيام به. He says, this principle emphasizes the importance of implementing Islam in one's life by adhering to obligatory actions of worship, such as performing the five daily prayers, honoring one's parents, and other essential duties. It also involves striving to act upon the sunnah and reviving among the people to the best of one's ability. This includes performing voluntary prayers such as the witr and the night prayers and other optional acts of worship, as well as charity and spending in the way of Allah. One must be diligent to establish this. He says, Rahimahullah, يقول أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي. And there's a mistake here likewise, right? يقول أبو عبد الرحمن السلمي رحمه الله. I should say رحمه الله. حدثونا الذين كانوا يقرؤوننا القرآن يعني الصحابة أنهم كانوا يستقرؤون من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكانوا إذا تعلموا 10 آيات لم يخلفوها حتى يعملوا بما فيها من العمل فتعلمنا القرآن والعمل جميعا فتعلمنا القرآن والعمل جميعا. He says that Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami رحمه ta'ala, he died in the year 72 from the great scholars of the Tabi'een, from the students of the Sahaba, from his teachers Ali radiyallahu anhu and Ibn Mas'ud and Uthman, Ali and Uthman and Ibn Mas'ud and others radiyallahu anhum. He learned the Quran from Ali and he learned the Quran from Uthman. Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami رحمه ta'ala, he's the one who narrated from Uthman the hadith in Bukhari. He's the one who narrated from Uthman radiyallahu anhu the hadith in Bukhari. خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And he's the one who narrated this from Uthman. And this is what he's saying here, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, those who taught us the Quran, meaning the companions, told us that they would learn 10 verses from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they would not move on to others until they acted upon what was in them. Thus, we learned the Quran and its application together. So this is the proper approach. We discussed this in previous classes. I indicated this affair to seek knowledge truthfully and sincerely with the intention to implement it in one's life. You learn the obligations in order to apply them, hoping to draw near to Allah. You learn the prohibitions in hopes to avoid them, fearing the punishment of Allah. You work upon this way. You have this intention. This is why we seek knowledge. We seek knowledge for this reason, to learn what is pleasing to Allah so we can do it, hoping for His reward. And to learn what is displeasing to Allah so we can avoid it and leave it, fearing His punishment. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the summarized reality of sincerity and truthfulness and seeking knowledge. He says, فَهَذَا هُوَ مِنْهَجُ السَّلِفِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ يَقْرِنُونَ الْعِلْمَ بِالْعَمَلِ لِأَنَّ الْعَمَلَ بِالْعِلْمِ يُخَلِّصُ مِنَ الْوَعِيدِ الشَّدِيدِ الْمُرَتَّبِ على ترك العمل الواجب في قول الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. This is the methodology of the Salaf. May Allah have mercy on them all. They combine knowledge with action. Acting upon knowledge is what protects one from severe warning mentioned from abandoning obligatory deeds, as stated in Allah's words. O you who believe, why do you say what you do not do? Most hateful, detestful, and with Allah is that you say that which you do not do. Is that you say that which you do not do. He says, rahimahullah, وَلِأَنَّ الْعَمَلَ بِالْعِلْمِ فِيهِ انْتِكَاسٌ عَنَ الصِّفَةِ الْمَمْقُوتَةِ الَّتِي وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِهَا الْيَهُودَ فِي قَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Moreover, implementing knowledge shields one from resembling the condemned traits of the Jews, as Allah has described them, the likeness of those who were entrusted with the obligation of the Torah, meaning to obey its commandments and to practice its laws, but who subsequently failed in those obligations, is as the likes of a donkey, which carries huge burden of books on their backs, any meaning but understands nothing from them at all. And he or does not benefit from them at all. How bad or evil is the example of people who deny the ayat of Allah, and Allah does not guide the people who are wrongdoers. He says, rahimahullah, وَفِي الْعَمَلِ بِالْعِلْمِ الْوُصُولُ إِلَى الْغَايَةِ الْمَنْشُودَ إِلَى الْغَايَةِ الْمَنْشُودَ بِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ ولذلك قال الفضيل بن إياض رحمه الله. There's another mistake there. رحمه الله. لا يزال العالم جاهلا بما علم حتى يعمل به. فإذا عمل به كان عالما. فإذا عمل به كان عالما. Acting upon knowledge is the means to achieve the ultimate purpose of seeking knowledge. As Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, he died in the year 187 from the great scholars of the Atba'i Tabi'in, rahimahullah. It says, a scholar remains ignorant. A scholar. Pay attention to the words. A scholar. Scholar, does he have knowledge? He remains ignorant. A scholar remains ignorant of what they know until they act upon it. When they act upon it, they become truly knowledgeable. When they act upon it, they become truly knowledgeable. So these are two words that are contrary. Exact opposites. Alimun jahil. Alimun jahil. Can somebody be alim jahil? Huh? Can you be alim jahil? Can you have ilm and jahil at the same time? Do these go together? These are up. If you have knowledge, what happens to jahil? If you have knowledge, what happens to ignorance? Knowledge removes ignorance. So anytime knowledge comes, ignorance goes away. This is the original principle, right? Anytime light comes, darkness goes away. Correct? When light comes, darkness goes away. When water comes, fire goes out, goes away. You understand this? This is in general, and this is from the initial aspect. But ignorance is more than one type. Ignorance is more than one type. So there's ignorance, which means to not have knowledge. And there's ignorance means to act contrary to knowledge. You understand? To act contrary to knowledge. Some people, whenever they act out, they say, what do they say about him? Man, he's acting a fool. Huh? And the Prophet, whenever he would leave his house, what would he say? وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَجْهَلَ أَوْ يُجْهَلَ عَلَيَّ. And I seek refuge with you, O Allah, from acting ignorantly, or someone will act ignorantly towards me. And he's from acting a fool, and somebody acting a fool with me, or being foolish with me, and he's getting out of hand, getting out of line, and the likes like this. This is considered being a fool or acting ignorantly. So ignorance is two types. One of them is the opposite of knowledge. So generally, whenever knowledge comes, this type of ignorance goes away. But there's another aspect of ignorance, and that is to not apply the knowledge one knows. He's considered ignorant. He's considered ignorant. For this reason, the Sahaba, they would say, كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ. Everyone who disobeys Allah, then he's jahil. Even if he was from the most knowledgeable of the people. From the most knowledgeable of the people. Al-Imam al-Ajurri, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the end of his work, Akhlaq al-Ulama. Al-Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Hussein al-Ajurri, he died in the 360. He's from the narrators of hadith. In his work, The Manners of the Scholars, in the end, he has a chapter. And it's entitled, Akhlaq al-Alim al-Jahil al-Muftatin bi-ilmihi. Al-Alim al-Jahil al-Muftatin bi-ilmihi. The manners of the ignorant scholar who's tried by his knowledge. The chapter about the manners and the etiquettes of the ignorant scholar who's tried by his knowledge. So just the chapter title lets you know. If you want to go to find the details of that, you go to the end of that work. And alhamdulillah, we studied it in this masjid by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's recorded, you can refer to that likewise. But there are people, they learn and they have knowledge, but they are tried by their knowledge. So at the same time, they're ignorant. They're considered ignorant. So maybe he has a doctor's degree, maybe he's praised by this one and that one, but he contradicts his knowledge and application, just like the Jews. So there he's from the ignorant people, and he's tried by his knowledge. He's tried by his knowledge. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he would say, تَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعَالِمِ الْفَاجِرِ تَعَوَّذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعَالِمِ الْفَاجِرِ وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْعَابِدِ الْجَاهِلِ الْعَابِدِ الْجَاهِلِ. Seek refuge with Allah from the trials of الْعَالِمِ الْفَاجِرِ, the corrupt, evil scholar, the sinful scholar, and seek refuge with Allah from the ignorant worshipper. فَإِنَّهُمَا فِتْنَةٌ لِكُلِّ مَفْتُونَ, because they're a trial from everyone who has tried, from everyone who's ignorant of them. And so there are people who are scholars or knowledgeable people, but they're wicked. They're corrupt. They don't implement their knowledge. They misuse their knowledge to abuse the people, and to use the people, and take advantage of the people, and to have authority and position. This is something well known. Sufyan al-Thawri, he died in 161. He's advising, and he's advising from these times of the likes of these people. Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah, he died in 360. He's mentioning the descriptions of these people in those days. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So this is something that's known. These are affairs that a student, he must learn about if he's going to be safe on the path of knowledge. That there are some people who ascribe to knowledge, but they're ignorant. There are some people who have reached a high level outwardly in knowledge, but they're ignorant. But they're ignorant because they do not implement the knowledge and uphold the rights of the knowledge, and they have the great resemblance to the Jews. For this reason, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah, he died in year 198. He said, "Man fasada min ulama'ina, falahu shabahun bil yahud." That whoever is wicked or corrupted from our scholars, he has a resemblance to the Jews. وَمَنْ فَسَدَ مِنْ عُبَّادِنَا فَلَهُ شَبَهٌ بِالنَّصَارَى. And whoever is corrupted from our worshippers, our devout worshippers, then he has a resemblance to the Christians. So the Jews, they earn the anger of Allah. So these people from this ummah, they share in a portion of that accordingly. And the Christians, they are misguided and they deviate and in error. And those who resemble them, they have a share in that likewise accordingly. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. So again, he says a scholar remains ignorant of what they know until they act upon it. When they act upon it, they become truly knowledgeable. This is from Fulayl ibn Iyad, rahimahullah. He died in the 187. The Shaykh, he says, rahimahullah, فَالدَّعْوَةُ سَلَفِيَّةِ تُعْنَى بِهَذَا الْأَصَلِ وَتَرْعَاهُ وَتُحُثُ النَّاسَ عَلَى الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِهِ فَإِنَّ الْإِشْتِغَالَ بِالْعَمَلِ أَنْفَعُ مِنَ الْإِشْتِغَالِ بِمَا لَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهِ مِنْ كَلَامٍ مُبَاحٍ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. The Salafi da'wah places great emphasis on this principle, any acting upon knowledge, and diligently promotes it, encouraging people to engage in actions that are beneficial rather than occupying themselves with activities that bring no value, such as idle, permissible talk, and similar distractions. Similar to like what the Shaykh was mentioning last night, Shaykh Khalif, rahimahullah ta'ala. People are deceived by this worldly life and they're wasting time playing games and the likes like this. So the Salafi calls us to benefit ourselves with knowledge and the implementation of that knowledge, performing righteous actions instead of doing idle talk or wasting time with things that are permissible. So if that's the case, then even more rightful that we forbid the people from getting engaged in that which is haram, that which is haram. So to busy yourself with beneficial knowledge and the application of that knowledge, performing obligations of worship and non-obligatory actions of worship and the likes like this that are related to the religion that will draw you closer to Allah. This is what we engage in. This is what we busy ourselves with. We preoccupy ourselves with these things and then we forget about the trials and the troubles and the distress of this life. In this life, and then you find yourself in a Jannah, alhamdulillah, pondering over the creation or doing some beneficial work or reading or studying or the likes like this. Whatever one is able to do from the good and righteous deeds, standing in the prayer or helping your mother or your father or so on and so forth, or helping your brother for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, or participating in other events and benefiting the believers in a manner that you can, and supporting the da'wah in whatever way you are able, so on and so forth, and being engaged in the application of the knowledge that you learn will preoccupy and busy you from these lowly affairs or from these deviant affairs or from wasting your time and the likes like this. So he says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ شَبَابَنَا وَفَقَهُمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَامُوا بِهَذَا الْأَصْلِ حَقَّ الْقِيَامِ لَسَلِمُوا مِنَ الْوُقُوعِ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ أَلَتِي لَيْسَتْ مِنْ خَصَائِصِهِمْ وَلَتِي الْإِشْتِغَالُ بِهَا مُضَيِّعَةٌ لِلْوَقْتِ كَالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِتَتَبُّعِ السِّيَاسَاتِ وَكَالدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى التَّفَكُّرِ فِيهَا إِلَى جَمِيعِ النَّاسِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. He says, if our youth, may Allah guide them, were to adhere to this principle sincerely, implementing the knowledge after learning it, they would avoid engaging in matters unrelated to their responsibilities and that waste time. Such activities include being preoccupied with following politics or calling others to delve into such matters. And some of the youth, they're involved in these politics and what this ruler is doing and what that ruler is doing. And did you see what they're doing in this country and what they're doing in that country? Akhi, this doesn't even involve you. Why don't you busy yourself with that which is beneficial for you? Just be quiet and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and make dua for the Muslims. And busy yourself with something that will benefit you in the grave. Whenever you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla, you have good. Instead of being preoccupied with these affairs that don't concern you, that could possibly lead you to the ways of the Khawarij or the deviant, or at minimum, they're going to waste your time. Or at minimum, they're going to waste your time. We all know the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the 40 hadith. Min husni Islam al-mar'i, tarquhu ma la ya'nihi. From the good Islam of a person, he leaves off that which doesn't concern him. So anything that's haram or forbidden, that first and foremost doesn't concern a believer. And then likewise, these affairs of politics and what different countries and rulers are doing in their country, so on and so forth, doesn't concern a believer. That's for those who concern them. And so a person should stay away from these affairs and following these affairs and the news of these affairs and what's happening and who's being president, who's the runner-up, and who cares about that stuff? Who cares about that stuff? You got things that's way more important than who's going to be a president and who's going to be in charge and Congress is getting shut down. So what? And you say, wallahi, so what? It doesn't change. It doesn't change. You're still going to do the same thing. You're a Muslim. You're still going to die. You're still going to be held accountable. You're still going to be resurrected. You're still going to be taken into account. You don't even know your Lord barely. Man Rabbuk. Talk about Allah Azza wa Jal. Tell me about your Lord. Tell me something about your Lord. Talk about Allah Azza wa Jal, His majesty and His greatness. How do we believe in the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal? What does it mean, tahreef? How do you believe in Allah? Bila tahreefan wala ta'thir. What does that mean? Wala takheefan wala tamthir. What does that mean? Explain for us. This is fundamentals of your creed. You don't know these affairs, but you know about politics. And you know about this ruler and this one and that one. Barakallahu feek. What's the lineage of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just give me the minimum that you know. You understand that? But he know, you know, but this ruler and that ruler and Saudi Arabia. Akhi, be quiet. Akhi, be quiet. Barakallahu feek. Stop being silly. Right? He's beyond silly now. This one's beyond silly. And he's on the next level. What do you have to be learning? Now it's coming to deviation. To deviation. So to busy yourself with learning and applying the knowledge, this is beneficial. This is the Salafi call. This is the Salafi call. He says, Rahimahullah, there's only a little bit left. Be patient, barakallahu feekum. He says, فهذه الأمور وأمثالها ليست إلى طالب العلم وإنما هي من اقتصاص ولاة الأمر أو من ينيبونه ولما اقتحمها فئام من الشباب ونزلوا أنفسهم منزلة ولي الأمر فيها كان جهلهم وظهر انحرافهم وخرج بلدهم في هذه القضايا. These matters and the likes are not the responsibility of the student of knowledge. Rather, they fall under the jurisdiction of the rulers or those whom they delegate. However, when some groups of youth involve themselves in these issues and place themselves in the position of those in authority, their ignorance became apparent, and their deviation surfaced, and their stance in these matters were exposed as flawed, and misguided, a deviant. Whenever they want to get involved and they want to give their opinion about these major affairs that's touching the ummah and the likes like this, some of them getting involved about affairs that are happening in this country and that country with regards to bloodshed and the honor and reputation of Muslims and Muslim families and the likes like this, giving verdicts and giving rulings and speaking about this and about that, and issues of jihad and issues of public matters that affect the whole entire ummah. And many of them, they're not even living in the same country or knowing the realities on the ground over there, and they're involved in these affairs. And they have opinions about these affairs. And they propagate these affairs on Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp and everything else. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What did he say? That whenever they get involved, what happens to them? Their ignorance becomes apparent. And their deviation is surfaced. And their stance in these matters was exposed. 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 People expose themselves on social media. People expose themselves on social media. Shay bi shay yuthkar. Be cautious from exposing yourself on social media. Many people, wallahi, the WhatsApp hala, what's it called? Status? This is called fadiha for many people. WhatsApp status, this is called fadiha. Fadiha, what does fadiha mean? Exposing. Are many people, they're exposed on WhatsApp status, just the status. Never mind all these other things. Expose what they post. Posting for this one and posting for that one. Exposed and their misunderstanding of the methodology of the people that they support. And the likes like this, the other than they expose themselves by literally exposing themselves and putting pictures of themselves or their family or other foul pictures. You see people putting up videos of people singing and dancing like the Sufis. I said, SubhanAllah, I thought that was a Salafi brother. La ilaha illallah. Now he's got Sufis on here and the likes like this or any avenues of exposure and deviation. If you're going to post your status on WhatsApp, post something that's reliable and beneficial. Post something that's reliable and beneficial, and post from a reliable source and a beneficial source. Sometimes there's benefits that come to us on these means, but they come to us from sources that are not reliable. So if you look at the benefit, mashallah, it's the best thing. But whenever you look at the source that it comes from and that it takes you back to, you'll find that there's many deviations. There's many, they have callers to deviation, callers to the Khawarij and the likes like this. So they'll have one translation, mashallah. Sheikh Suleiman, for example, Sheikh Abdul Razak, for example, Sheikh Fozan, for example. And then you go looking at the rest of the videos and they have deviant individuals who the people have not clarified that they're Hizbis, clarified that they're from the Sururi or the Haddadiyya. Clearly, there's many of these channels on YouTube that are like that. So you see one, mashallah, from the great scholars that we know and we love and respect, and the next one after that is a Haddadi. Clear Haddadi. Subhanallah, another Haddadi, talking about takfir and talking about al-udhr bil-jahl and like these major affairs. And even their translation is broken up and it's like, and it's all AI and the likes like this. They have no true knowledge of even translating properly and getting the pure meaning. Getting the pure meaning. So it's very dangerous. So you don't want to spread these things. So what you receive and what you share are two different things, barakallahu fi. What comes to you and what you give the people It's two different things, barakallahu fi. Maybe something comes to you and you say, oh, that's beneficial. But you don't just hurry up and give it to others because it might be a means to lead them to misguidance. You have to check and verify. You have to check and verify. The one that reached you, is it good to spread to others? And maybe that part is good, but what the link leads to is bad. It's bad and deviant. You have to be careful. You don't just spread anything. You don't just spread for everybody. Look at the bottom. Look in the fine print, right? We talked about that before, right? Whenever some people, they're going to go to great details and looking at their food. Oh, that means what is it? Have this and this and this and this and this. But what about the deen? You don't look in the fine detail. Translate, oh, refer to so-and-so. Like that. Subhanallah, ya akhi, barakallah fiqh. No, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. So it's very dangerous in these days. Many, 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 many traps. He says, لأنهم إنما يعتمدون على قصاصات الجرائد الأجنبية والإذاعات الكاثرة فيثقون بها لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ويبنون أحكامهم عليها. Many of these youth rely on foreign news clippings and broadcasts from non-believing media sources, placing their trust in them. And there is no power or might except with Allah. They base their judgments on such unreliable sources, leading to harmful outcomes. Like they see some fake news or even some BBC news or some other news company on TV or on the YouTube or on the media, and this is a disbelieving. It's clearly a disbelieving news channel, or it's clearly a deviant Muslim, so-called Muslim news channel. And then whatever they say, they take it and they believe it and they spread it. Oh, look what they're doing in this. Look what this ruler did. Akhi, this is all lies. Or it's closer to being like Kehana. And they take one thing that's true and put 1,000 lies with it. And then the people, they only say, oh, look, you said the truth. So then they forget about the 1,000 lies and they follow the truth. That's on the news and the likes like this. Many of the wallahi is fabricated, especially in these days. The images that we see, not all of them are real. Not all of them are real. They fabricate images. They look real. They look real. You see it. It looks like the man's there. But they're not there. It's something that's made up. It's made up. It's Hollywood. You understand that? You know, and then some foolish Muslims, oh, look, and they spread it. Oh, look, they did. Oh, God. And then they cause confusion and chaos and doubts in many of the minds of the believers and bloodshed, at least the bloodshed, wallahi. At least the chaos. Look what happened in Syria. They call to the street. There's no street. It's gone. And then they claim, oh, yeah, alhamdulillah, we have victory. Subhanallah, ya akhi, barakallah. How many people died? How many women were raped? Girls, akhi, Muslim girls. Astaghfirullah. Victory. Yeah, right. Wallahi, what is failure? Humiliation. 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 Wallahi, I was in the Dars of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin in Medina. Whenever they were surrounded in Halb. And the fatawa, the questions are coming to the Dars online. There's a young girl, she's saying that they announced they're about to raid our homes. She said, I'm a virgin. I'm afraid they're gonna rape me. Can I kill myself to save myself from this humiliation? This is the fatwa being asked. Understand that? A Muslim girl in her home about to be raided by the filthy Shia. Nusayriya, waliyadhu billah. Knowing what they do to the people. No doubt what they were in before is hard, but what they're in now is worse. You understand that? Of course, the Shaykh, he said, no, it's not allowed for you to kill yourself. You have to be patient and seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is just clarifying the situation that this leads to. This is a calamity. This is not victory. This is not aid. This is not Arabic spring. Wallahi, this is failure. This is great failure and humiliation. Great failure and humiliation. Wallahi, this is. And before that, now they're asking, before that, the same Shaykh, what is he saying? Don't go to the street. Don't go to the street. Be patient. Stay in your homes. Don't get involved. And then whenever the next thing you know, is it okay to kill myself before they rape me? Before they rape me. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. Well, this is the outcome of the cause of the deviant, of the cause of the khawarij, of the cause of the sururiyya, of the cause of the Ikhwan Muslimun. That's why we speak about them like this. This is why we detest them in this manner. This is why we hate Hizbiyya. In every aspect, that's what he said, we free ourselves from it. We try to alleviate it because of what it leads to from the humiliation and disgrace of the Islamic nation, of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi وسلم. So many of these youth, they rely on foreign news clippings and broadcasts from non-believing media sources, placing their trust in them, and there is no power. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. They base their judgments on such unreliable sources, leading to harmful outcomes. This principle is in this likewise. وَإِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Wallahi, Allah, He gave us guidance in the book. If a corrupt person comes to you with any information, you have to verify it, or else you might harm somebody in ignorance while you don't know. Then you will regret in the end. Regret in the end. So this is not the way. We don't take what we see in the media as 100% real, and we don't spread it and build judgments based upon that against Muslim rulers and governments and the people in general. And the people in general, many of that is fake and a delusion and an attempt to mislead and misguide the people. He says, كَمَا هُوَ الْوَاقِعُ فِي حَرْبِ الْخَلِيجِ فَإِنَّ بَعْضَهُمْ اَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْقِصَاصَاتِ وَعَلَى مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْإِذَاعَاتِ فَنَكَبُوا الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَأَدْخَلُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الرُّعْبِ وَفَرَّقُوا شَمْلَهُمْ وَمَزَّكُوا كَلِمَتَهُمْ عَلَتِي كَانَتْ مُجْتَمِعَةٍ. An example of this was during the Gulf War, when some individuals based their views and actions on these clippings and broadcasts. This caused harm to the Muslims, instilled fear in their hearts, and divided their unity and fragmented their collective word that was once united. وَهَذَا الْإِعْتِمَادُ عَلَى الْقُصَاصَاتِ وَعَلَى الْإِذَاعَاتِ الْأَجْنَبِيَّةِ هُوَ غَايَةُ مَا عِنْدَهُمْ مِمَّا يُسَمُّونَهُ بِأُصُولِ فِقْهِ الْوَاقِعِ. وَلَمَّا خَرَجَ عَلَيْنَا هَذَا التَّيَارُ الْجَدِيدُ جَنَى عَلَى الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ. This reliance on stories and foreign broadcasts represents the pinnacle of what they term the principle of understanding current affairs. This is also from the call of the Khawarij and Ikhwan Muslimun, فِقْ الْوَاقِعِ. They say the scholars, the great scholars, the major scholars, they don't understand the waqi'. They don't understand the reality of the affairs. They only know about the rulings of menses and tahara and salah. As for these affairs, they don't know about that. This is what they claim. Wallahi, they're liars. And this is a false claim. However, this new trend has emerged and caused harm to both knowledge and action. وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ الضَّعْفَ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ يَبْدُو جَلِيًا فِي شَبَابِ الْأُمَّةِ فَأَنْتَ تَرَى شَبَابَ فِقْهِ الْوَاقِعِ لَا يَلْتَزِمُونَ أَحْكَامَ الشَّرْعِ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْقَضَايَا الْعَظِيمَةِ. As a result, weakness in knowledge and action is evident among the youth of the ummah. Youth engrossed in fiqh al-waqi'ah often fail to adhere to the rulings of legislation in many significant matters. In many significant matters. أما الاشتغال بما لا فائدة فيه وإقحام الإنسان نفسه فيما ليس من اختصاصه فهذا وباله كبير ويفوت على الإنسان من الأجر والخير الشيء الكثير. Engaging in matters that bring no benefit and involving oneself in areas outside one's expertise leads to significant harm. It deprives the individual of immense reward and goodness. And he says, فَعَلَى الشَّبَابِ أَنْ يَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَنْ يَعْمَلُوا بِمَا عَلِمُوا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ حَتَّى يَفُوزُوا دِينًا وَدُنْيًا. The youth must fear Allah regarding themselves and strive to act upon the knowledge that they acquired. By doing so, they will attain success both in their religion and worldly affairs. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.